Welcome to the next episode of the Digital Workplace Deep Dive. I'm your host, Weston Morris. Hey, you know, for quite some time, I've been wanting to talk to my guest today because he sets the strategy for all the digital workplace services at Unisys. That's right. I'm talking to Joel Raper, the Senior Vice President and General Manager for the Digital Workplace Solutions Business Unit at Unisys. Joel, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Weston. I've listened to many of the podcasts, and I'm excited to get my chance to spend some time with you and talk today.
Well, we got some tough questions here for you. I'm going to start off with a fun one here. I've heard you say something recently that I'm going to say it's a bit provocative, and I'm not quite sure how our listeners will react to it, but I do believe that what you have to say about this will give them something to think about. You've said, we're suffering today from the failed promise of IT. Now, what's behind that statement?
It is meant to be a little bit provocative, but it's important because it's the truth. And, you know, I think you can go back to the beginning of IT in organizations, and it's played out over and over and over again, right? I mean, I think going back to as PCs became prevalent in organizations, you know, we went to this world where we're going to monitor everything and we're going to get alerts for everything and we'll be able to be proactive at the time and predictive at the time. And what happened was we spent lots and lots of money on monitoring tools and things that checked every nuance of whatever we could actually see at the time. And it was overwhelming. And so then still the catastrophic problems were the only things you took care of and you ignored the noise and that were real problems, but it wasn't as big or nobody was complaining about it. And then you kind of moved into, well, you know, with the new modern operating systems and applications in the cloud, you weren't going to have to fix a whole bunch of stuff. You know, it was always going to update itself. The cloud was always updating on a daily basis. You're not going to have to do patches. You're not going to do maintenance. You're not going to do those things. And we didn't quite live up to that one either. And then, you know, we were going to move to a chat technology instead of really people manning the voice calls and the service desk, for example, or we were going to install Dex tools that self-fixed everything automatically. And so we're going to greatly reduce the cost of maintaining IT equipment for organizations. And the reality is it isn't always perfect, right? The chat technology isn't quite as useful as talking to somebody on a phone at times, or it doesn't have the ability to understand the things as a user perceives it versus the real problem. You know, I remember back in my early days, trying to teach somebody that wasn't exactly computer savvy on how to turn a computer on or plug it in. And they were looking about how do you turn the monitor on? And they had no idea about the computer. And especially you look at manufacturing or other organizations that are customers of ours, that's often the user population, right? I think we're probably a little bit better than that. Most people have to have computers at home and their cell phones and things, but you know, you don't always get the exact problem statement from an end user in that service desk and chat, you know, struggles behind that a little bit. I think, you know, the new promise that we have going on is AI is going to solve everything. You can ask a question. It's amazing what the results that you get out of it. But in the enterprise space, it won't quite be that way because you have to limit the data. You have to secure the data. You won't have the kind of quantity of data in those scenarios. And so, you know, we still have work to do for living up to our promises and our hope to our users, which are, you know, the employees of many of our customers or any employee that's out there, but the expectations of how computers are just supposed to work when you turn them on.
Yeah, I really wanted to start with that question, Joel, about the failed promise of IT, because I know that is informing your strategy. And so let's get into some of your strategy, because if we look at some of Unisys' competitors, many are getting out of the in-person support model or field services. You know, that's where someone comes to your location, your home or your office, whatever, and physically fixes a device, a keyboard, a mouse, a screen or whatever. Now, I've also heard you saying that instead of abandoning in-person support, you are doubling down and investing more in this space. So, Joel, what do you know about this that everyone else seems to be missing?
Yeah, I'll answer that in reverse, right? I think one of Unisys's biggest asset that we have is what we call frontline services or field services organization. And that's the people that are manning the tech cafes. That's the people that are doing what we call dispatch service, where they go out and, you know, replace hard drives or fans or install servers or do any of that equipment, or maybe work on kiosk machines or point of sales machines or any of those things. But that will be needed for the foreseeable future. I don't see that going away at all. And that's why we're doubling down on, you know, that's why that is an important part of our aspect. we're in a stage as we get to things like PC as a service, right? It's a very common thing that most organizations are looking at as you move from the CapEx to the OpEx model. And now they just pay $20, $30 a month and get a PC as a service, and it replaces itself and it does things. But how do you get that PC to the user when they start? How do you recover that PC when they leave? How do you go and fix the PC when it's having troubles? It's the last mile. It's the last person. It's that on-site support that's needed. I'll give you one example that resonates so well with me. We have one of our customers that is very far on the experience evolution within their organization. And we man a tech cafe for them. So we have a couple people sitting at a beautiful setup where users can just bring their device to them. They'll help them solve the problems, you know, go through the challenges. They may reimage the machine. They may fix a hard drive. They may do whatever they're going to do. They're going to solve the problem in person. That organization, you know, talked about an instance where, you know, somebody that had a disability came up with a wheelchair. One of our folks actually sat down on the floor with them so they could look at them eye to eye, or at least below them versus up on top of a big chair and behind a desk, and have that conversation. The impact of that was huge for that person. And why I bring that up is, you know, when your machine is not working, it's a problem. It's a stressful situation. You might be trying to get a proposal out. You may have a deadline from your boss. You may need to get something done so you can go home and see your family. And being able to hand that over to an individual or talk to a live person about some of those things is impactful on reducing that stress. And I want to make sure that we're taking care of that for our customers.
I have to agree with you around the tech cafe. That is such a delightful experience. If a company says they're taking that away, you know, it's like you get a lot of screaming employees saying, no way. But I'm not 100% convinced yet, Joel, about the frontline worker, the field service, the in-person support of being able to double down there. I mean, we hear this phrase about, you know, IT has gotten smarter. In the past, I would need somebody to replace a hard drive, a screen, you know, there was something physically they fixed. Now it's just a device swap. So if we're going to double down in in-person support, what are those folks going to be doing?
You're absolutely right. We've had a lot of increases in technology. Heck, in some cases, you can go to a local store and get a brand new machine and you log on and then it downloads all your company specs and security and it takes a couple hours. You get that. I think we've made big strides from that. So you're absolutely right from that component. However, there's a ton of things in many businesses that require something beyond that. We have instances where we're going in and replacing set-top boxes on the back of TVs that deliver TV service, that we're replacing kiosk machines for maybe fast food restaurants, that we're servicing all the technology needs. Maybe it's a new access point in a building. Maybe it's a Microsoft Surface device sitting on a wall. Those all have needs for physical interaction, for somebody to go out on location and service that from a dispatch standpoint. You know, you think about some of those big service machines, they're huge and they're 160 pounds. That's not a direct swap, right? You got to go do that. You know, a network device, a firewall, that's not a direct swap. And even if it is, you want somebody to bring the new device, swap it out, plug it in, validate it works, because you don't always have the resources on site as an organization itself. And so there's a lot of opportunities out there. And I think one thing that's unique for us as we look to double down on it, you know, we already are global. You know, we service just about every country with field services organizations, both from a frontline services like some of the IT work that I was talking to, but also in a break fix, whether it's a appliance, some sort of technology that you can't just do a direct swap on. But we service all over. And the more we get on scale, the better we can service our customers, the quicker we can be. It may not be 8 hours, might be able to do 4 hours, or instead of next day, we can do same day. And so that's why we continue to grow that organization and open those opportunities up.
Yeah, I think you've opened my eyes here just a little bit. As I just think about, you know, the number of devices I interact with, and compare to like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, like it used to be a laptop, right? Maybe a physical phone at some point. But now laptop, tablet, smartphone, camera. And if I go into a building, scanners, smart conference rooms, you mentioned the large smart whiteboards and things like that. Yes, the devices are more likely to be swapped, but there's way more of them and they interact, right? And there's a complexity there. So I see your point completely. There's a need for probably a whole different level of in-person support than just that break fix that we've been talking about for years.
Well, and let me give you another example that every one of us can probably resonate very well with. You know, most of us have a cell phone, and I think the market share would tend to guess that most of us have an Apple cell phone. I know there's a lot of Android users out there. I'm sure they have the exact same problem. I've had to do this two or three times. I can't hear through my speaker on the iPhone, right? And usually that's because I do wood shop work and some other things, and it's usually dirty from dust and things like that. But what's the answer? There's no such thing as a swap. It's too expensive, right, to send a new iPhone for such a thing like that. But you can go schedule an appointment in a couple of days in an Apple store, and they'll come in, they'll take in the back room, and 15 minutes, your speaker works great. It's awesome. Everything's functioning correctly. Now think about, you know, you and your role, Weston, or many of us that would be listening to this. Can we do our jobs effectively with such an impairment on one of our critical devices, right? So if you have a person sitting on site that can help and do those things, you know, we just saved that employee a ton of time. And, you know, just like the failed promise, and I was talking about our customer that's far along on the experience aspect of it, ultimately, that's the goal of what we're trying to accomplish. It's not, you know, do we want to offer the cheapest service that we could possibly offer to our customers and get the minimal need and take care of the catastrophic problems? We need to turn this around and make a promise back to IT organizations that say, our goal is to actually improve the efficiencies of your employees. And by improving the efficiencies, that can be something as simple as saving them an hour a month that they would have had to sit on a call with somebody as we escalated to the different tiers, an hour a month of waiting where the cell phone example, where you had to wait for an appointment or something. You know, as we think about those ideas, delivering that type of value from an employee productivity standpoint back because we're servicing their IT needs more probably have the biggest impact that could possibly be done in a business.
Kind of going back to that theme of the failed promise of IT, at the very beginning, you mentioned, Joel, generative AI and the little family there. And there's all kinds of promises about what generative AI, Copilot, Bard, you know, you name it, what it's going to do for the industry. Are we setting ourselves up for failure again to have another failed promise of IT with all this generative AI hype?
I think with every hype cycle, it is always an overpromise situation. I mean, think about where we are even with the cloud. When the cloud first came out, it was just a no-brainer, go to the cloud. We still are migrating organizations today. And that's been a, you know, 6-7 year journey that people are dealing with in the cloud. And so, you know, there's a lot of gotchas. There's a lot of fine print and details on some of these things. And I think Gen AI has a potential to fundamentally change our world equivalent to what the internet did. I absolutely do believe that. And I think we can all think about many examples of how that would be the case. I like to use the sentence, you might've heard me say it before, Weston, where there's going to be a lot of money spent on AI. There's not always going to be a lot of value in the short term. And why the reason I say such a thing is, you know, all of us, every business out there is scrambling. How can they best utilize these new advancements that came with Gen AI specifically and large language models and some of the new features that have come out? The use cases are still being developed. And so when you're in a case that the technology is there, but the use cases aren't, you're going to be spending a lot of money and not always realize it. I think back to the big wave of automation that we had, you know, 6-7 years ago, and that was going to change everything in our industry, right? We were going to be able to get rid of all manual tasks, everything that was computer related. Where are we right now? That didn't quite live up to its promise either. And the reason behind that is sometimes the cost of that automation, the cost of the development and the creation and all of those things was not worth the value that's gained. And so my perspective that I give is to really focus on AI that drives an ROI, AI that delivers value back to our organizations. A great example on Copilot would be, how are we ensuring that companies are getting the value for, frankly, a very expensive cost on a monthly cost of Copilot, right? Or if we gave you, Weston, a license, I think you have one, but we gave you a license, how are you using Copilot on a weekly basis and how much benefit is that creating for you, right? Hopefully it's freeing up some time for you. Hopefully it's allowing you to be more productive in your life at the company here. How does the company realize that productivity? Are we sure we're measuring that productivity, or are we sure we're getting out of it? And if you just got the license, I'm spending $30 a month on you, are you using it? Because if you're not, we didn't add any value to the IT organization whatsoever. And so we got to train you better or do some things to help you get to that point. And I think our offerings around that are pretty exciting. I'm very, very bullish on, you know, where that's going for us and what Unisys can help our customers with.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to send this podcast to Copilot and have it edited and see how that turns out. We'll see if that replaces me here. So you really dug in nicely to the commercial generative AI products that are out there, because there's a lot of marketing hype and advertising and talking about how it can be used, and we're experimenting with that. Maybe we can dig in a little bit different about how you're thinking of using it. I mean, you've got a really smart chief scientist, Alan Shen. Maybe we get him on a podcast here sometime. And Stephen Tong, who has been a guest. I know you've got those guys digging into how to use generative AI, embedding it in digital workplace services. I don't know, are you able to talk about that at all, or is it too soon to open the kimono on that?
No, I think I can share something, because we're rolling it out very soon. But and I was trying to give this example because there was a debate going along on what is the difference between generative AI, or specifically large language models, and natural language processing, right? And so I wrote a blog article recently that talked about this, and you can see that on LinkedIn. But the concept was, a person can actually type in the words that says, "My computer is broke." Okay. So in the past, with natural language processing, there's nothing to run off on that, right? You're not going to find anything. But in my own experience, and I'll use an example that happened the other day, I changed the password. That password actually caused Intune to deinstall from my machine. And I have a Mac. I don't have admin permissions on my Mac. I can't reinstall that very easily. And so, you know, it scheduled a meeting to get the fix done. I got temporary capabilities so I can function correctly. And the next day I get on a call, and it took about 6 minutes to fix it. That was it. Pretty straightforward, pretty easy. Now, let's put this in what Unisys is doing for our customers and how we're changing the business. With the progress of large language models, and then the tie-in to the other data sets, including looking at knowledge base articles in real time based on the chat or the voice that you and I are having when I have this problem. When I say, "My computer's broke," it could say, "Do you have a Mac?" "Yes." "What's broke? What changed?" "Change my password." And instantly it would bring up the knowledge base article. That was 6 or 7 minutes that I might be able to do it, right? In a natural language processing and in a chat bot. In the old way, before we had the Gen AI and large language model capabilities and context understanding in knowledge base articles and all of that stuff, we would have never gotten to the same spot. And I think it's such a core example that I get really excited. I was really pumped going through that pain, because I just thought power of those types of problems being serviced from a chat technology, or being serviced from a level one service desk person in minutes, is right at our fingertips. And I think that is fundamentally changing for how we go about business and how our customers are served.
Well, Joel, to close out here, I think I'd like to go back to that first statement, your statement about the failed promise of IT. Now, obviously, I can hear from what you're saying, you're not indicating to abandon IT. You're not recommending that, but to really fix it, to get value out of it. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on how do we make IT relevant again?
I love that relevant again, right? But if you think about, and again, another history lesson, I like to look at history because I think we're always on a circular cycle. It just kind of repeats itself over and over. When you think about where IT is, right? IT in the old days used to have all the authority in the world. You wanted to bring in an ERP system, who'd you go to? IT. You might've had input if you were on the finance team, but they were going to dictate what that was based on the cost of running, implementing the machinery that I was going to need to run on, the database structures. They had every say in the world. You move to the cloud, they lost the say of the cloud, right? You move to the cloud from your servers into an Azure or AWS or something. Now they don't even have data centers in most cases, right? And so we lost the data center components. And so what's IT? Well, they get you a network connection or a Wi-Fi connection when you sit down. They bring you a device. And this doesn't work for everybody, but a large portion of the folks, the apps are sitting in the cloud itself. The IT value to the organization has decreased because the value has pushed out to the cloud or other companies providing that value, which is fine. There's lots of benefits and lots of reasons that we've done that, and a lot of value to the organization we've done that. But IT is not as relevant as it was in the early 2000s, even late 90s from that standpoint. How I want to add value back to the customer goes back to one of the other statements I talked about, right? If I can continue to do things and track and report and help IT go back to its organizations to say, the things that we've done through Copilot, the things that we've done through the automation that I talked about in our investment in large language models are now not saving us costs from our service provider, because that's one benefit, but actually saving our users you know, 15, 20, 30% of their time when they have a problem. And that user time is way more valuable than ever the cost of a ticket or the cost of a chat technology. That user time is huge. Think about who those users. What if it's a pilot? What if it's a manager of a store? What if it's a finance person? What if it's a salesperson working on a deal to close out or something that's going on in negotiation? That is really, really important time that we need to measure and say, see what your decisions have done with your partners like Unisys and others, the things that you've done, you've giving that time back to your organization that you can be more productive with, that adds real value on whatever wares, you know, you guys are selling and being profitable with.
Well, I tell you, Joel, one of the things I love about you is that despite your busy schedule, you are always super accessible. So if our listeners heard anything today that they want to dig into further, or maybe even message you to give you maybe a different point of view, are you open to them reaching out to you? And if so, how?
Absolutely. I think I would say email, but I get 400 or 500 emails a day. I have to use Copilot to help me with that. I would say probably LinkedIn is the best one because I don't get a lot of junk out of LinkedIn. So you can find me out on LinkedIn, Joel Raper, Unisys. That's probably the best way to reach out and personal message me. And so that's the easiest way.
That's super. Well, thank you so much for joining me today on this podcast, Joel.
Great. Thanks for having me, Weston. I enjoyed being here.
My guest today was Joel Raper, Senior Vice President and General Manager for the Digital Workplace Solutions Business Unit here at Unisys. This is Weston Morris. I'm the host of the Digital Workplace Deep Dive Podcast. Thanks for listening.